Let's stand together, open our Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 this morning. We'll begin reading in verse 1. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, time to be born and a time to die, time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. I'm a person who likes to enjoy life. I like it when people enjoy life. And in order to do that, it's important that we understand that there are seasons, there are times, and God has prepared those with a purpose in mind. I know everyone has a favorite season. And I think the one that I'm in at the moment is my favorite season. When it's time for winter, I enjoy the drop in temperature. I enjoy the occasional snow. If we travel far enough north, we can see a snowflake or two. I was in Ohio this past week, and it was about 10 to 15 degrees with a wind chill of below zero. And after 3 days, I said, boy, I'm ready for summer again. And although I enjoy the season, aren't you glad that all of life isn't about one season? Can you imagine if I enjoy watching the leaves fall off the trees, but I can't imagine the trees without leaves all year round, or snow on the ground, or being frozen, or the summer heat of Texas 12 months out of the year. Aren't we glad for October when it finally begins to cool down and that extreme humidity and heat begins to fade away? And all of life, I don't care if it's spring, I love the spring season, and I love Easter. I love seeing churches filled back up again, people dressed up. I love the fact that school's about ready to end. As much as I enjoy school, I enjoy a dismissing school and going into the summer. And then the relaxation that is summer, you know, being able to get out, get away, fish, vacation a little bit. Those are all good times, camps. And then you go into the fall, and for us, it's missions conference and school starting back up and harvest. But all those things, when we understand there is a season of life, and as long as we have the right perspective, it's easy really to fall into a season in life, whether that's age or old age or sickness or youth. And it seems like the longer I live, the more I see people disgruntled or discontented with the season of life that they're in. Whether that's in their parenting or whether that's in their marriage or their job, their income, their health. No one seems to be happy anymore. If you're old, you want to be young. If you're young, you want to be old. If you're married, you want to be divorced. If you're single, you want to be married. If you're bald, you want hair. If those that are light-skinned want to be dark-skinned. No one's happy with anything, but especially not the season of life. If you go talk to these kids in school, if they're in seventh grade, they wish they were in ninth. If they're in ninth, they wish they were out. If they were in 12th, they wish they were in college. It's just no one can seem to be happy with the season of life that they're in. And we know this, that no season lasts forever, and as long as we are patient. Here's the thing I like about season. I like change. Now, most people, especially the older you get, the more resistant you are to change. The seasons mean, well, now I got to pull out my winter clothes. And around here, it's not like you need boots or hats. I went to JCPenney this past week looking for my daughter who seemed to get lost in that store. She always seems to get lost, and I can't find her. But as I made my way around looking for my daughters, I saw this lady with a nice, thick winter coat and gloves and a scarf. And I thought, ma'am, you're going to wear that for 2 days. I wouldn't invest the money. You must not be from Texas, and you don't realize this isn't going to last very long. But sometimes that's we prepare as if that season of life was going to last forever. And if we step back and take a breath and say, you know what, this may be a painful moment. This may not be my favorite season of life, but I know at some point I'm going to make my way through it and come into a better season of life. I remember when I was in college. You know, when you're in high school, you think that season's going to last forever. And then once you get to college, it just seems to all race downhill. Everything goes by, time goes by so quickly. But that season of life, all of life is made up of seasons, and God does that to prepare us for the next season. Seasons are a time of preparation. You know this, when we think about seasons, we think of a farmer and the harvest and the planting. And in spring, it's a time of preparation for the next season. He's preparing the ground and buying the seed and making sure the tractors are in order and putting everything in order, because you know there's a planting that has to take place. And that season is preparation for the next. And here's what happens. When you're young in life, kids like to try to skip seasons. If they had their way, life would come with a fast-forward button. You know, they'd hit the button, I'd fast-forward this stage and this step, and I'd just fast-forward straight to Thanksgiving, and then to Thanksgiving, I'd fast-forward to Christmas, and then at Christmas, I'd fast-forward to my birthday, and then my birthday, I'd fast-forward to May 28th when I'm getting out of school, and then I'd hit pause and make those 3 months about 18 months of summer. And then at the first day at school. And that's the way kids want to have their life run. But here's the problem. Each one of those steps is a necessary preparation for the next season. Can you imagine an eighth grader if he never went through seventh grade? Can you imagine a college student that never went through the season that is high school? I can't imagine if I would have moved to Argentina without having been in the ministry, worked as an assistant, gone through Bible college. And at the time, I didn't like it. At the time, I was frustrated with it. At the time, I thought 4 years, these kids get into Bible college. And they look at 4 years as if it were a life sentence of hard labor at a North Korean prison camp. You mean I have to wake up and be so? I thought that's what my high school diploma meant, that I can now officially sleep in for the rest of my life. No, that's not what that paper means. That paper means you got to wake up earlier and work harder, and now you have real responsibilities. Your biggest problem in life is not a 92 on a test. Now you face real problems. Your biggest financial issue is not sitting at Starbucks with $2 in your pocket and hoping for a venti macchiato. You know, for a college student, that's a real dilemma. What do I do? I got to actually go with a black coffee? Life is unfair. You know, it's a poor college student. They go to Starbucks and they sit over there at the bar and they're putting in a half a gallon of creamer, unscrew the lid off the sugar and just dump it in there. Same with the vanilla. You know, they're trying to make their own vanilla macchiato on $2. That, for a college student, is a crisis. But you know what that is? You've got to graduate from your situations. These kids have a lot of situations, amen? Those of you that have junior hires, you've dealt with one of your kids in the midst of a situation. You know, they come home, why are ye so troubled and perplexed? Dad, you just don't understand my situation. Nobody likes me and I don't fit in. And of course you don't fit, you're weird. That's what 7th and 8th and 9th grade is about, amen, perfecting weird. But at some point, you're going to get past this season. But if you don't handle small-scale problems, then grow when you're 21 and 22 and you begin to face with real problems. You know, they buy a vehicle and realize you actually have to change the oil. Well, Dad, it's $32 and you taught me to be thrifty. I'm going to go and wait 7,000 or 8,000 miles before I... You know, that thriftiness may cost you $5,000 when you go to replace that vehicle. But these are all necessary steps. And because we have not trained our children in the importance of process, really we've adapted to this philosophy of instant success and instant meals and instant everything. So they come straight out of high school expecting life to be instantly handed to them, whether that's a marriage or finances or a house, success on any level. There's just an entitlement that says, well, society and life, it owes me some kind of recognition, some kind of award, some kind of success. No, that's earned. Your parents, took a long time getting to where they're at, earning what they have, then working hard to maintain what God has given them. You're going to have to go through the same process. But isn't it funny, the first snowfall, we get out and throw a snowball and we're so excited. This is kids, you know, when they go into class or they get into a new stage of life, a new season, they're all excited, raking the leaves and jumping in the pile. The first week of school's a blast. But then it's like one kindergartner said to his mother in our school after the first week, on Tuesday when he was awakened, rudely awakened by his mother, told to prepare to go back to school, he said, "Mom, I thought we finished that last week." Isn't that how we like to look at life and its lessons? "I thought, God, that I finished that last week." He said, "No, you're just getting started. You've got a lot more classes to go to, a lot more lessons to learn, a lot more steps in this process." And here's what we, honestly, in our pride, so many Christians have stopped progressing, stopped growing, and now instruction is a frustration. And God says, "You're the one that's making that season so long. Because instead of humbling ourselves and learning, we've decided, I don't like that teacher, and I don't like that person that God's put there to teach me, and I don't like that class, and I don't, and God said, "Well, you flunk it, you're going to take it again." Well, I want to move forward. And God said, "No, we got to retake that. You're going to stay right here in this season of life. There is a time for everything. And until we accept the process that God has planned for us," and if you look at every single individual in the Bible, those that we admire, that one of the things you're going to see, each one, whether it's Moses in the desert or Joseph in the prisons in the house of Potiphar, it doesn't matter which one it was, they all had to go through the seasons of life, and each one prepared them for the next season. That's right. And until we sit back and say that the seasons aren't punishment, Satan will begin to play with your mind and get you to think that the summer heat is punishment. "I can't handle another day of this punishment. Eat an ice cream. Drink a cold tea. Find AC. It's not the end of the world because it reached 105 six days in a row. It's summer. Enjoy it. Go fill up your kiddie pool and splash around with your kids. Do something that's fun, but enjoy this season." Last 2 years ago, we went to Illinois, and it dumped 18 inches or 20 inches of snow, and our kids were out there having a blast. "Dad, would you come help us make a snowman?" I said, "Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you get it 90% of the way done, and then I'll come put on the finishing touches. That's my job as a parent." Amen. Boy, we went out there, we played a little bit of football, and it doesn't take about 30 minutes for this Texas body to get frozen by an Illinois snow. And I don't have the clothes to be dealing with that. My little Texas jacket does not provide enough warmth. And after about 30 minutes, I said, "You know what, I think I'm going to go back inside." And Billy keeps that house at a nice, cozy 60 degrees during the winter. "I'm going to go back inside and warm up." But to hate the season, to kick the snow. I watch Christians, they walk around kicking the snow. "I hate this season." Go inside and get a hot chocolate. Calm your nerves. Read a book. Stop hating the season. Young people, stop hating. "I hate the season of my marriage. I hate the season of child rearing. I hate the season of adulthood. I hate the season of sickness. I hate..." Yes. How strange is the thought of hating a season when you know it's not going to last for a day or two or even a month. It's months long. So find a way to enjoy it. Find a way to make it the best season of the year. There are times and there are seasons, and to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And really, we don't need a change of season. We need a change of perspective, because as long as we go into that season with the right perspective, we'll enjoy the season. Tell you what, whether that's marriage, the school, finances. Oh, I watch people, they don't like the season they're in. Young people, this is why your discontentment with the season puts you in such dangerous territory. Because the young people, you know, they graduate and they look around, they visit these houses and they see the nice china and beautiful furniture and the bedroom set and, the lovely home. And they say, boy, I want that. And the bank says, you can have it. And Lowe says, you can have it right now. I wouldn't even wait. And JCPenney says, every time you go by the register, you want nice clothes? We got the card for you. You get 10% off this purchase if you get this card. And then everything after that is basically free. And you know, kids are all pretty intelligent at that at age of 20. JCPenney's going to help me out. They're on my side. I love JCPenney. And because you don't enjoy that season, I remember when we came here and Miss Ashford helped us get this apartment and people began, listen, people, sometimes it's not even nice to give away your old furniture. Just throw it away, okay? Don't make someone feel bad for the next 2 years, you know. Everybody began to, you know, we got one of those old water beds, that the kind you lay on and, woo! The good thing is I have a weak stomach. But I couldn't afford to, you know, hook the hose up, fill that baby up. You just put as much water in it as you can to eliminate as many waves as you can. Well, you know, I don't like our bedroom set. I think I'm going to go out and get one on a, they've got a 36-month plan now. You better just enjoy the season of the old waterbed and say, I'm going to wait. There'll come another season. There'll come a season when I make a little bit more money and I can afford nicer things. But meanwhile, it's not a problem. I'm not going to hate this season. Good. You know what? You sit back. All those stories and those laughs and those times you get together and have so much fun, you're not laughing and reminiscing about the days when you had money. You're reminiscing about the days when you had no money. What stories would you tell at Thanksgiving had you not married poor? Right? Thanksgiving would be a boring event. You just sit around and eat food and get fat and talk about nothingness. Instead of having fun, you'd have an argument that lasted for 3 hours. Thank God for that season of poverty. Now, really, the biggest lesson that we can learn in all this is to enjoy the season you're in. Shouldn't hate the plowing. Shouldn't hate the time of planning. Young people. Now, I know men are different than women. Women all like to go back to be life at 20. I wish I was 25. My wife asked me, wouldn't you like to be 23 again? No. Are you crazy? I was broke. I don't want to be 23 again. I was buying $25 shoes at Payless and going Goodwill shopping, turning down $20 suits because I couldn't afford them. I want to be 23 again? Have you lost your mind? The only thing I liked about 23 was no kids. Other than that, I'm not going back. You know what? If you would enjoy this stage of life, if you would say, while I'm young, I'm going to enjoy my youth, enjoy the fact that you can still do 50 push-ups. Because at my age, you're only going to be able to do 45. I woke up this morning, did a few one-finger push-ups and did the five-finger and then worked my way down from there. Now, I have my own form of push-ups, amen. My push-ups are not your push-ups, and my ways are not your ways, but it doesn't matter. Thank God for the energy of youth. How many of you at some point, you know, everybody talked to me about those points, 30, 40, 50, 60. Thank God I just passed the 30 point. But at some point when I hit those other mile markers, I've been told you just don't have the same energy. Have you ever looked at the kidney and thought, boy, that is such a waste. I got all these brains and all this ability and all these plans and I can't even do anything about it. I'm just hoping I can reach the kitchen and take a coffee down. That happens with life. Young people, enjoy this evening. Enjoy the energy that you have, because you're not going to have that energy forever. And then here's what's funny. You have all this energy, and despite that, they still need 10 hours of sleep a night just to feel good. You know how many 13-year-olds I talk to that tell me they're tired? Wake up, sit at a desk all day, catch a taxi ride home, sit at a table with a prepared meal, sit back in front of an Xbox, a PlayStation, or a TV set, and then about 9 in the crack of 9, boy, I'm wiped. I bet you are. You've walked to 3 different locations, 10 feet at a time. I'm so proud of you. You know what? Enjoy that stage of life, because it's going to be over soon. And you're going to be the one having to teach, and you're going to be the one having to cook, and you're going to be the one having to drive that car. That whole taxi cab situation didn't last forever. Enjoying that stage. And then here's what's funny. Kids don't enjoy that stage of life, and then they reach middle age, and people can't enjoy that stage either. They're panicked because they watch too much TV. So are you set when you're 65 and you're 32 years old and you're already panicked? What am I going to do when I'm 65? Man, my 401k is not going to help me. What in the world am I going to do? How am I going to be able to buy that motorhome? Folks, you're laughing, but I get to deal with this all the time. And my kids are going to grow up, and then they're going to be gone, and they're going to get married. We'll enjoy them while they're living at the house. Enjoy that stage. Listen, at that middle age, that's when you really got to say, thank God for my family. I'm going to enjoy. Stop fighting with your husband long enough to enjoy those kids. And this world got you so caught up worrying about your retirement that you can't even enjoy middle age, because now you're convinced that we gotta have this huge house, and we gotta pay it off, and we gotta put all this money aside for retirement, and the kids need, they gotta have Nike shoes, and now they can. Here's what's so funny. Parents now can't enjoy middle age because you can't go to Walmart and buy their clothes anymore. Kids are like, oh, Dad, no one wears Levi's anymore. Dad, if you buy me Lee jeans, I'm never wearing jeans again. Dad, I can't walk into Walmart. If anybody sees me in a thrift store, my life is over, Dad. So now you got Mom and Dad working, and they can't enjoy middle age because kids are more demanding than ever. How many remember you used to be able to take your kids by McDonald's for a 28-cent ice cream? And it was a good day. And now they want Starbucks, $4.38 to make them happy. You need to get back to enjoying that stage. Listen, if you're in the older group, enjoy your grandkids. Enjoy the fact that you can send them home when you're done. And done means anytime you're sick and tired of having them around. That may be 30 minutes in or 2 hours in, you say, hey, it's funny, time for you guys to go home now. Home. Dirty diapers and all, go home. Enjoy the stage. Stop hating the season. Go with me to 2 Samuel 12, and I'm going to read you a verse out of Philippians 3. Now, here's really the pitfalls when it comes to dealing with the seasons of life. You have, really, I would say it's all your over 35 group that's stuck in the previous season. Here's what Paul said, Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind me. Forgetting those things which are behind me. Now, one of life's biggest setbacks and pitfalls is living in a previous season. And ladies, let me get personal this morning, because normally this is more of a female problem than a male problem. Something about a man just moves on quicker. Young ladies, this is why you ought to be careful. I'm play tough to get. You better be careful. Men move on. Now, here's what you don't want to do. Ladies, let's just read the text and then we'll get there. Because if you're not believing what I'm saying, I'm going to use the Bible to help you get where we're going. Verse 15, Nathan departed unto his house. The Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David. How many of you noticed it in the Bible? From the Old Testament, New Testament, this woman, instead of being referred to as Bathsheba, she's constantly referred to as... How many of you would like to make one mistake in your life and everyone referred to you not by name but by mistake? Your whole life. And then after you're dead, they still do it. That's the way she lived. Verse 16, David therefore besought God for the child. David fasted, went in, lay all night upon the earth. You say, well, men grieve. They certainly do at the moment when there's still hope. And that's exactly what David did. Here's a sick child, a dying child. He's down on the ground grieving over that child. David besought God for the child. David fasted. He went in, lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose, went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. He said, I don't want anything to eat. I don't want anything to drink. I simply want to lay here and grieve over my child and see if God might have mercy on him. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David rose from the earth and washed and anointed himself, changed his apparel, came to the house of the Lord, and worshipped. Now, I need to help you this morning. Speaking of the seasons of life, so I want you to stick with me. Normally, men, when they're going through a crisis, will cry out to God, God, would you show mercy and have mercy? And men will fast and pray and beg. But when that thing, that issue, that life, that problem, that child, when that thing is dealt with by God and is dead, men normally don't try to pull it back out of the grave. Here's what David did. He grieved, he wept, he said, while there's hope, let's beg for a miracle. But once that child was dead, David washed, anointed himself, changed his apparel, came to the house of the Lord, and worshipped. Then came he to his own house. When he required, they set bread before him, he did eat, and then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread. How can that happen? Verse 22, he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell? Who can tell? Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him. He shall not return to me, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, because she was a woman still grieving this painful loss. And ladies, you understand that God made you differently than the male. And God made you physically and emotionally and spiritually to nurture. That's why that child can fall down in the dead and say, get up, pick up your finger, tape it back on, stop the crying. It'll reattach with time. And mom's over there, you know, the child gets a little scratch, and mom's going, oh, Gucci, come here, Gucci. Oh, sit in mama. The child is 13. Sit in mama's lap. And that's the nature of male and female. But here's the problem. That same innate... That characteristic that God put deep within you to nurture a child and to nurture people, you'll often take and nurture pain. In the same way you'll nurture a sick child, you'll nurture pain in your heart, refusing to let it die. CPR on something that should already be dead. Got to be careful, women. Because instead of going into another season of life, you're still hanging on to that season that's been years ago, years past, and you're dragging that around. And God's saying, I have a new season for you, and it starts today. Listen, if something died, that means a new season starts today. And that's why there's divisions among husbands and wives and males and females, because the husband's trying to get up and move forward and the woman is trying to look back and still hang on to that season and say, well, we had such a great friendship. How did that happen? And how did you just end up changing companies? And why is it in any change in her heart? She's still going back saying, I just can't let go of that. And ladies, at some point you're going to look silly dragging around something that is dead, trying to nurture it back to life, when God says, I have a new season for you. And they couldn't understand that David jumped up and said, let's wash the face, let's move forward now. Yes, we made a mistake. Yes, we were punished. Yes, we faced severe consequence. But God still has a new chapter to be written. Amen. Aren't you glad that seasons of life don't last forever? And when you make a mistake, God still has enough grace in your life to say, I'm going to use you. But she couldn't see the next chapter. You've seen the next chapter. How many of you read Matthew 1? And you read this lineage and you see all these males mentioned, and suddenly you get to the wife of... Why did he have to say that? Why not just mention David? They're going through the lineage of Christ, and yes, they're talking about Solomon, and it was through her that Solomon was birthed, but God had a plan in the... You know why God does that? Just to let you know, it's all about my grace anyways. Amen. Well, I'm done. I can't be used. This season of life has ruined me. And God says, yeah, if it were about you, your life would be ruined. But it's not about you. This is about, I'm going to keep calling you the wife of Uriah and birth through you King Solomon and provide through you the lineage of Jesus Christ. So you better get up and raise this next son for my glory, because he's going to be a king. And that man in your womb is destined for greatness, so you got to get past this season and move to the next. You know what we don't want to do? Be careful, ladies. You'll be disturbed by the man that washes his face and says, let's move into the next season, because you're still trying to nurture something that God took from you. Frustration, a disappointment. Life is full of disappointments, young people. You don't drag along those disappointments from the previous season. Suddenly a relationship is ended. I know this sounds cruel and harsh. I love my daddy. He was my pastor, my mentor, my friend. I didn't lose just a pastor. I lost a package. Father, friend, and pastor. I went out to his grave a couple weeks ago and just sat down and thought about that crazy man wandering around restaurants, running around restaurants, trying to grab a bill, pay for it, jeeping, flipping motorcycles, sitting there thinking about the time I went up to Temple and he was supposed to be riding. Knocked on the hotel room door and I noticed his bike messed up sitting in the trailer. I thought, what in the world? And opened up the door, there's blood on the sheets and blood in the bathroom. Every towel is covered with blood. He's riding a wheelie and just happened to ride it over backwards. Ripped off most of his skin from his shoulders down to his feet. You look back and you think about all that was accomplished. You think about Homer Smith and Ron Garris and the bus routes and all the seasons that Capital City Baptist Church has seen. And if you're not careful, you're going to be living in a previous season. Boy, I remember when Homer Smith used to come through here. Listen, if Homer Smith showed up today, you wouldn't even understand him. all the wind sucking that he did. But in your mind, that was the finest message that was ever preached. You're going back to another season. And I love those men, and I love the ministry, and I love the bus routes, and I love what Capital City done, and I thank God for all of those days and all of those memories and all of those times. But the worst thing we can do in life is keep dragging around a previous season when God wants to take us into a new season. And at some point, you got to do as David did and say, we got to get up. We've got to move forward. And yes, this has been painful. And you're going to drag around some of the baggage from the previous season. And that's what she did when every time she faced someone and was introduced as the wife of Uriah. And when God, even in Scripture, introduces her as the wife of Uriah. But God's just saying, you know what? I'm going to use you in such a great way that if you don't deal with some of that baggage, you get a big head anyways. You would think that it was you. And I don't need that because I don't want to share my glory. So here's this woman living in the palace, the big life, the servants, the jewelry, the beautiful robes, the amazing parties. You're the mother of Solomon, the wife of Uriah. Don't you think that made her cringe to death? You say, preacher, I did something 18 years ago. You know what? Satan will throw that in your face and you'll have a hard time dealing with that. But all the same, you must move into a new season. You know, move past that end of the era. And you know when an era ends, it's tough, especially on parents. A child graduates. We're in that era. A son has graduated from high school. And a mother says, I never see that child. Yeah, he's got to work. He's got things going on. That's the end of an era. These mothers, you know, they end the era of the child at home, and they take that child down to the kindergarten class, and they walk up to the door, and they've already been out for a hot chocolate and a milkshake and a hamburger all on the way to school. You know, three different goodbyes, and I'm going to take you to the class, and you be a big boy. Don't cry. Mom, can you let go of my hand? Because I'm ready to go to school now. Yeah, but be a big boy, okay? He's like, Mom, can you be a big girl? Because this is getting a little bit excessive. Isn't it funny the way that mom is holding on to the end of an era? She knows this is it. This, I got to let go. This is just one of the steps in the process. But how many mothers are hanging on to a previous season and actually hurting that child or hurting their marriage or not allowing God to grow them and go forward because they're hanging on to summer or winter? Now, that's the problem with old age. The problem with the youngsters is wanting to just skip a season. And yet, young people, I don't want to stay on this point for more than a few seconds. But there is nothing more detrimental to your future than trying to skip a season. When Abram did that, got impatient. I need a son. I want a son. You remember what happened? Hagar. And we're still suffering. You know what's going on in the Middle East? That's the result of a man trying to skip a season of life or fast forward. You don't want to do that. I don't. You want to know how to end up in a very poor marriage? Try skipping a season. You want to know how to end up broke the rest of your life? Try skipping a season. You don't want to do that. Now go back with me to Ecclesiastes 3 and we'll be finished. Three things. Number one, every season has a purpose. Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time. What's it saying? To every purpose. God has a purpose for spring. God has a purpose for summer. God has a purpose for fall. God has a purpose for winter. And so it is in our lives. God said, I have this season, and it's for you, and it's on purpose, and you want to take advantage of this season, not complain about it, not live in a previous season, not try to fast forward to the next season, but simply accept the purpose of this moment and this season. It's tragedy. Maybe it's a season. Remember, we talked about time to die and a time to be born, a time to gather stones and a time to cast stones. A time to laugh and a time to cry. Kids have a problem with understanding that there's appropriate time to laugh. You're trying to teach your child, right? Shh. No. This is not a good moment to be doing that. Uncontrolled laughter at the wrong time is painful. There is a proper time. And some of you, listen, some of you look like you haven't laughed in 2 centuries. I would put some oil on those jaws, loosen them up a little bit, pay a comedian to come on over. Get Donald and Tony to come over at the same time. You need to laugh. Some of you need to loosen up a little bit. You make me tense. Loosen up a little bit. You know why life is miserable? You've made it that way. Laugh a little bit. Enjoy life. There is a time to laugh, and yes, there is a time to mourn. And be careful, because in your callous behavior, it's easy to think that you're going to solve or resolve a problem with 3 sentences and end someone's mourning. You know the best thing to do when someone else is going through pain? Be there, buy them a gift. A gallon of chocolate ice cream, usually good. 2 gallons is better. Don't try to be philosophical. I got some words of wisdom. No, you don't. You've never had words of wisdom. So don't think suddenly you have a revelation from heaven to help someone. Too many people think, I'm going to go to this funeral, I'm going to go to this person, they're suffering, I'm going to go up to the hospital, and I'm going to say a few things. Well, Pastor, what'd you say? I didn't say anything. What'd you do? I brought up my coffee. That's what helps me when I'm having problems. Just so you know. Usually I have a problem every morning by 8 o'clock, so if you want to help your preacher out. There is a time for all of that, but you have to understand, God has Pastor Robert in this season of life with a purpose in mind, preparing him for the next season. You don't know what the next season is, but God knows that. So he's putting you through this season. Now we can look back. I can see how college prepared me for being an assistant. Being an assistant prepared me for Argentina, and that work in Argentina prepared us for the move to Mexico and the churches we plant there. And the time in Mexico prepared us for Austin. Each season was preparation for the next season. But hindsight tells you that. You don't know what's around the corner. Oh, we like to plan our and devise our way. But it normally doesn't work out the way we planned. Goes me to verse 13. Every season has a purpose. And then number 2, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. Look what it says. It is the what? This season you are in is a gift of God. Young people, you're in high school. You're in ninth grade. Ninth grade is a gift from God. And I'm your teacher, so I am your gift from God. I feel pretty good about that. Brother Ben, whatever season you're in right now, this is a gift from God to you. So I don't see it as a gift. What a bummer of a Christmas. It's like getting socks from grandma. You thought, careful, you look at gifts from God like that. This season, Lord, I certainly would have liked to have bypassed, and God said, no, this is exactly the one you need. Just say thank you and we're good. Amen. Amen? Go with me to Psalms 31. When it comes to seasons, God's in control. And the length is predetermined by God Almighty. How many ever complained about the length of a season? Lord, I think I've had enough of this already. Got 6 feet of snow in my backyard. My snowblower is not working. My wife's refusing to shovel. Sure help me out if you wouldn't send any more snow. There are seasons of life, and God is the one that determines the length of those seasons, and we're the ones that would like to say, okay, set your clock 2 months, 30 days, end of season. God said, no. I determined that. Look what it says, Psalms 31, verse 14. I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. So what is faith? I trusted in thee. Then the next phrase out of his mouth is, my times, my seasons are in your hands. You know, when we truly believe God, we'll say the same thing. God, whatever season I'm in, you know how long I need to be here, and I'm going to trust you with that. Now go to Acts 24 and we're done. This morning I haven't mentioned anything about salvation, but you're with us. Our greatest concern is that you be born again. And if you're not born again, now's the right time. Now's the right season. Some reason God introduced a Christian to your life, brought you to this church. You've heard preaching. Someone's given you a Bible, talked to you about the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation by faith. This is a season of life when God's trying to get your attention and bring you to salvation. Felix, a man that was set to judge Paul. Paul was brought before this man to defend himself. And instead of doing that, he takes Felix through the gospel. Look what he says in verse 24. After certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith of Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time when I have a convenient season. I will call thee. You know why so many have died without Christ and now suffer in the eternal lake of fire? Because they were waiting for a convenient season to get saved. Now's the right season, now's the right time. If you're not born again, if you never trust Christ your Savior, you got to say, you know what? This is a season of my life when God is moving, the Holy Spirit is working, everything's in place, I'm sitting in a church, the Bible's been preached. It's time for me to get born again.